reading now from the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned home. This is God's living word for God's living people. Thanks be to God.
All that I am sings of the God who brings new life to birth in me. My spirit soars on the wings of my God.
Why me? Why did God choose me, Mary, to be the mother of Jesus? I was a teenager from a small, nondescript town in Israel called Nazareth. I was from an ordinary family. I helped my mother around the house. I worked in the fields with my father and my brother. I drew water from the town well. I was engaged to a local young man named Joseph. Your Gospels don't say anything particularly positive about me. I'm not even sure whether many would have thought me to be especially religious. I didn't stand out. I was nothing special. Maybe that's exactly why God chose me. One day I was going about my daily chores when, in the blink of an eye, my life changed forever. An angel Gabriel appeared to me and said, "Hey, what's up, Mary? The Lord is with you." I had no idea what kind of greeting this was, but I guess that was to my advantage, because I didn't immediately dismiss Gabriel because I was a nobody. I was open, curious, and puzzled. "Don't worry," said Gabriel. "You have been uniquely chosen by God. You are going to bear a son, and will call his name Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High and will reign over the house of Israel forever." I didn't miss a beat, though, and so I came right back at him. "Okay, so how is all this going to happen since Joseph and I aren't officially married yet?" "Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you. That's why your child will be called the Son of God. Furthermore, your kinswoman, Elizabeth, who is way older than you, is also pregnant. So if you have any more questions about how God works in this world, just talk with Elizabeth. For nothing will be impossible with God." And I said, "He Here I am, Lord. I am your servant. I said yes to God out of my nothingness. I knew that I could hear and obey the words of Gabriel because I had nothing to lose. I was very aware of my unworthiness. From the very beginning, I never took credit for being the mother of Jesus. I knew it was all because of God's mercy. And so after the angel Gabriel left, I sat there for a few minutes, stunned and yet strangely empowered. I said yes to God out of my nothingness. I didn't deserve it. And yet, it changed my life. And it's the same for you. You too don't deserve God's love in your life, yet God chooses you to make a difference and bring in the kingdom of God. And when you too say, "Yes, Lord, here I am," then God brings new birth to life in you, and nothing will be impossible for you to accomplish because of God.
All that I am sings of a God who brings new life to birth in me. My spirit soars on the wings of my God.
Of course, there were challenges ahead, not the least of which was to explain to Joseph how I became pregnant. Joseph was a good man. When Gabriel talked to me about Elizabeth, I knew that I had to seek wisdom from my older relative, and so I immediately left my town of Nazareth and traveled into the hill country of Judea. When I arrived at Elizabeth's house, I discovered that there was something unusual going on there as well. Elizabeth was way past childbearing age. I mean a miracle. And Zechariah, her husband, he couldn't talk. I said to myself, "Oh my, this is getting curiouser and curiouser. Hey, Zechariah, was your angel named Gabriel too?" "Ah, I thought so." When Elizabeth greeted me, she was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." When I heard the sound of your voice, the baby leaped inside me. "You are blessed, Mary, because you believed that what the angel Gabriel said would come to pass." What a powerful confirmation of my call. It's one thing to hear the voice of God through an angel. It's quite another to have that call confirmed by another human being. I knew that I never would have made it without the support and the encouragement and the love of Elizabeth. Someone understood me. When Elizabeth said to me, a pregnant, unmarried teenager, "Blessed are you," I felt reassured. After all, I was a poor girl, discarded, useless in the eyes of the world in which I lived. And yet, I felt inside of me this longing to fulfill God's promise and make myself available. And so God began to bring new birth to life in me and through me to the world. And I let loose with one of the most powerful songs in the history of the world. You call it the Magnificat after the first word of the Latin translation.
All that I am sings of a God who brings new life to birth in me. My spirit soars on the wings of my God.
be honest, I didn't really realize until after the birth, life, and death of Jesus how profound and prophetic the Magnificat was. What do you think of my song? The first thing I realized is that my song wasn't about me. It was about God working through me. You remember the words? I did say, all generations will call me blessed because I have done great things. No, I said, I am blessed because God has done great things for me. I boasted of my favor in God's sight because I knew it was all a gift. I was a nobody who, because I said yes to God, became a somebody. I knew that I could never earn my status as the mother of Jesus. It was all mercy, mercy, mercy. God gave grace to me, and I accepted it eagerly, willingly, and openly. I was empowered to become God's instrument of grace in the world. And so it is for you. Each one of you here today is a unique, one-of-a-kind human being created by God for a special purpose. God looks with favor on you, too, out of your nothingness. How is God bringing new birth to life in you today? Can you accept yourself as God's instrument to bring in the kingdom of God in this world? Will you say yes to God and receive that grace and mercy in the midst of your poverty of spirit?
All that I am sings of a God who brings new life to birth in me. My spirit soars on the wings of my God.
The second thing I realized about the Magnificat is that it was about God's mission for Jesus in the world. My song says very clearly that Jesus is coming into the world to bring justice. From the beginning of time, there have been the haves and the have-nots. There are those who don't count in the world, like me and most of the world's population. We are the poor. We are the oppressed. We are those who have no power. In contrast, there are the rich, the mighty, and those who have influence in our world. Your American poet, Jack Gilbert, has written, "The pregnant heart is driven to hopes that are the wrong size for this world. My pregnant heart, body, and soul had so many hopes for my son, Jesus, but I realized later that those hopes were the wrong size for Jesus and for this world. It was when Jesus stayed behind in the temple as a young boy, and we were frantically looking for him, and finally we found him at the feet of the rabbis, and I realized how unique Jesus was. And that I had to surrender all my hopes and dreams for him to God. As Jesus matured into adulthood and began his ministry, I observed how Jesus gravitated to the poor. Oh yes, Jesus loved all people, but he was especially moved by the little people in this world rather than the kings who had everything handed to them on a silver platter. Jesus' heart went out to the poor rather than the rich whose only concern was how not to pay more taxes. Jesus spent more time healing the sick and the outcast, ministering to the down and out, and talking with women, tax collectors, and Samaritans than he did with the religious leaders of the day, and they didn't like it. They wanted Jesus to pay more attention to them. I know this because I was his mother. Things were changing, and they weren't looking good for Jesus. You see, he was out of step with the world. His hopes the wrong size for the powers that be. The political right didn't like Jesus because he aligned himself with the poor, and the political left didn't like Jesus either because he wouldn't fight back and want to overthrow the political structure of Rome. Jesus insisted on standing in the right place rather than taking the right stands on everyone else's pet issues. Jesus made everyone feel uncomfortable. I know Jesus' heart because I brought him into the world as God's instrument of love and justice and mercy. After Jesus was arrested and tortured and then hung on a cross, I was one of the few who stood with him to the end. And when a soldier pierced Jesus' side to make sure that he was dead, I had a flashback to when Jesus was just 8 days old. We had come to the temple to circumcise him and name him. An old man named Simeon, a complete stranger, walked into the temple. A complete stranger. He took my son Jesus in his arms and blessed him. And then Simeon looked me right in the eye and said, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul too." Jesus came into a world with as many injustices as you have today, but Jesus would not ignore the oppression. That's exactly where he focused his ministry. And that's why Christmas, the Christmas story, is a bittersweet message. It's bitter because you too know that this sweet little baby Jesus in the manger is going to grow up to be an advocate for the oppressed, and it will cost him his life.
All that I am sings of a God who brings new life to birth in me. My spirit soars on the wings of my God.
But there's one more thing that I need to share with you. If the words to my song describe the kind of Lord and Savior that you desire to serve, then how are you going to live your life? The Magnificat is not just about Jesus' mission to our world, it's about your mission as well. You see, the Christmas story is just about the birth of Jesus, but it goes on because we celebrate Jesus' birth knowing that his death is right around the corner, and it's disconcerting, isn't it? You want your sweet little baby Jesus to stay in the manger, and you don't want to think ahead to his death. You want to celebrate Christmas in your nice warm homes with your families and not think about the fact that on Christmas Day, millions of people like me will be around the world wandering the streets with no place to lay our heads, no food on non-existent tables, no Christmas presents, no one to say Merry Christmas, no one to give us a hug. You're looking forward to Santa sliding down your chimney and don't want to acknowledge that Santa does not come to people like me, to the poor and the oppressed and the hungry. My song brings a very disturbing message into your complacent world. In fact, the Magnificat is one of the most dangerous songs ever sung. The great missionary evangelist E. Stanley Jones once called the Magnificat the most revolutionary song in the world. And William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury, once warned his missionaries to India never to repeat the words of the Magnificat in public. Why? Because Christians in India were already suspect. And the words of my song were so inflammatory that if the missionaries read them, the common people might be incited to riot. No one who is part of the status quo. And that includes many of you, and it includes your pastors. No one who is part of the status quo can read this song without feeling uneasy, because God requires that those who have much make prayerful decisions about what they are called to share with the very least of God's children. All of you who are here today have already done so much to reach out to those in need and feed the hungry with good things. You don't know how much joy I feel in my heart because of the difference you're already making in this world. Do you know that you are Christ's coming during this Advent and Christmas season? God is bringing new birth to life in you right now. Christ is thrilled that your pregnant hearts are driven to hopes that are the wrong size for this world, because that's how the kingdom comes. That's the only way the kingdom will come. I'm sorry I'm so passionate, but it's my son we're talking about. God has uniquely chosen you to bring hope to the hopeless, to feed and fill the hungry with good things. You have been empowered by God to bring light and life and love into a dark world. You, whose pregnant hearts are compelled to keep bringing hope to the hopeless, never give up on your hopes. Never give up your dreams. Because nothing will be impossible with God. Christ is coming in you again and again and again. I know this because I was his mother. Let your spirit soar on the wings of your God.
All that I am sings of